Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Talking Cars, and today we're talking electric cars, Tommy, because our topic is, should you buy not an electric car, but which electric car to buy? So which three have we owned?
Well, we've owned a bunch of them now, Dad, and of course, the majority of them are by the company everybody loves to hate, or hates that they love, Tesla, of course. So we've had the Model 3, the Model X, and now the Model Y, and we're going to talk about our experience with them and talk about which one is the right one for your lifestyle.
So coming up right now, if you're in the market for an electric Tesla and you're not sure which one, we'll let you know. Sit back and relax, or keep driving if you're driving. TFL Talking Cars is on the air, the world's most popular car podcast. Okay, maybe not yet, but we're working on it. All right, Tommy, so let's start with the Model S, because that's the one we haven't owned, but we have driven it.
Yeah, so the Model S was kind of the first largely mass-produced Tesla. It debuted in about 2012, and it's, of course, the one that's known for destroying Lamborghinis and crazy supercars online with the performance models, but that is their large luxury sedan that competes with the likes of BMW and Mercedes and Audi. It's the most traditional looking one, you know, four doors with a trunk, and it's the one we haven't owned.
Yeah, and actually, before I even get to that one, let's take even a farther step back in time, and that's because I actually have taken the Roadster Tesla on a road trip. So way back in the day when we first started TFL, Nathan and I got to drive that from here in Boulder to Estes Park, which is kind of all uphill in a snowstorm. And if you guys want to see a classic TFL video where where we're sweating bullets because we've got summer tires on a $150,000 Tesla, check that out. But the thing that always impressed me about that, and something that is true for the Roadster and for every Tesla, is we drove it up and we used a lot of power to Estes Park, right? Because we're going uphill, basically, up the mountain. And then we drove it back down to Boulder and we regained most of that power coming back. And that has been the case since the beginning of Tesla. And that's one of the, I think, secret sauces of Tesla, is that it's got some of the best regenerative capabilities out of any electric car. And I don't understand why the other manufacturers don't do that.
Well, I think they do. I just think they incorporate it differently. So Tesla's really reliant on the one-footed driving.
Yeah.
But when you talk to the German engineers at Audi and BMW, they say that you actually use more power one-footed driving because it slows the car down
so
aggressively.
Would you define one-footed driving? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, one-footed driving is you take your foot off the gas and there's so much regen that it almost comes to a stop. That's how much.
In fact, the Tesla turns on the brake lights.
Yeah, for sure. But for example, like Audi will argue that it's not good to have that much regen because what ends up happening is you take your foot off the gas even for a second and you slow down to such a drastic point that you have to use more electricity to speed back up to the speed that you were just at. So
yeah.
The way the Germans do it is they incorporate the regen braking into the brake pedal. So as you start to hit the brake pedal, then it will regen, but it's more of a deliberate action.
I gotta say, I really like one-footed driving. It's a whole different way to drive. If you're not used to it, it's a little bit off-putting, but once you get used to it, it's fun because you try to kind of mentally figure out where you let off the gas so that when you hit the stoplight or the car parked in front of the stoplight, you've come to a complete stop. It's really cool.
Anyway, the Roadster was a really interesting...
Are you bored with that? Was that a boring... Is that...
Well, we got to stay on topic, Dad. We've got stuff to talk about. Anyway, the Roadster was a really fun car. That was really the first Tesla model, right?
Yeah.
That debuted in...
It was a Lotus with a Tesla battery pack.
Yeah, it came out in like 08, 09. And it really was a revolutionary vehicle for...
And the other thing about the Roadster, which is also holds true, and I think we can talk about this because this holds true for every Tesla, it was mind-blowingly quick. I mean, in a straight line, 0 to 60, that thing was, I think, around, if I remember right, it was around 4 seconds. And when me and Nathan, two big guys, got in and it sprinted to 60 in like 4 seconds, and you get that kind of tunnel vision where your face gets pushed back like you're in a rocket ship going to the moon, it really made the Tesla experience something unique.
The funny thing is I think the one we had in 2010 or 2010 it was like the Roadster Sport.
Yeah.
So it was right when they debuted the Sport. Had all this carbon fiber on it. And like you said, it was incredibly quick. Because we've never experienced anything like that with the instant torque. But nowadays, it wouldn't be – it's not nearly as quick as even, you know, your pretty standard Tesla.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the Model S, which will now do 2.3. And I think that car would be, like you said, barely do 4.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Model S. We've also driven that one. We actually had a viewer of ours bring it to the test track with ludicrous mode. And I got to zip down the track at full ludicrous power. It was fun, but it was kind of a pain in the ass because you had to wait. I think I sat there for at least 20 minutes for the batteries to warm up before you could actually activate ludicrous mode. So in a Tesla, of course, you've got, you know, instant acceleration because you've got instant torque. But if you really want to go super fast, then you got to put it in ludicrous mode, and then the car actually has to prep the batteries, warm them up so that you can get all the power to the motors.
Yeah.
And remember when we first got the Model S, how we kind of just – a friend of ours actually worked at the local Tesla repair shop at the time, and he had a loaner that he lent us so we could actually test drive it. And I liked the car. The thing, that, once again, that struck me immediately about that car was that giant screen, right, which is something that all Teslas have had.
And this would have been like 2013.
Yeah.
So this was, I think, right when they came out with the P85,
yep.
But before the dual motors. So it was a really exciting time to be in that car because, like you said, that massive 21-inch, does that sound right, 24-inch screen?
Yeah.
It was such a game changer back then, and it still is such a game changer today.
Now, the reason we're not actually including this in our discussion, at least beyond this point, is because it's getting a little long in the tooth. Now, they have facelifted it, so they have given it a new face. But for the most part, to me, the Model S is getting a little old. It does still represent, the pinnacle in a lot of ways of Tesla luxury, so you do get you do get air suspension, you do get the fastest 0 to 60 time, you do get the fastest quarter mile time, you do get the most expensive version, I think a full-on performance P dual motor with the underline. How much is it, like 100? And it's just over 100,000, I think, without full self-driving. Maybe with full self-driving you're at like 110, if I remember last time I looked. So it is expensive. But it's also the vehicle that is no longer in vogue, right? Nobody's buying sedans. Sedans are just not, right now, cool. And so the three that we are talking about are affordable for the Model 3, are a crossover for the Model X, and let's call it a hot hatch for the Model Y. So let's start with the Model 3, which is the first Tesla that we actually bought with our own money. What'd you think of that?
Well, the Model 3 was supposed to be the affordable Tesla.
Yeah.
So, do you remember when the Model S debuted, it was close to $100,000
yeah.
all across the board, and then it kind of dropped down into the 60s. But the Model 3 was supposed to be the Tesla you could get for $35,000, and that sort of materialized. But the Model 3 came out in 2018, and it's been pretty similar since then. They've improved it a little bit here and there, but overall pretty much the same for the last few years. We had the dual motor, which dual motor in Tesla speak is all-wheel drive, right?
And they keep changing the designation. So
a little bit, yeah. But we had the dual motor non-performance.
Right.
So it was rated to do 0 to 60 in like 4.4. And it was a brilliant car. It's properly great. We bought it in 2019 with the idea that we wanted to get the most affordable one, but we couldn't get our hands on one in any kind of reasonable amount of time. So we got the dual motor with the white interior. It was gray with the kind of upgraded wheels, and it cost about $48,000, if I remember right. It was about $50,000.
Yeah, well, we actually ordered we wanted to get the least expensive Tesla you could buy. We ordered that, and then we get a call from Tesla, a representative here in Colorado, and they said, hey, we don't have that one. I think this happens to a lot of people, but we have the next one up, the dual motor, in stock, and we'll sell it to you for like, you know, a few grand more. And you get more range, you get more usefulness because it was all-wheel drive versus rear-wheel drive. And so we're like, heck yeah, and that's what we ended up buying. And I think that's something that people don't understand out there. If you're new to Tesla, you may be thinking to yourself, well, I got to go online, order the car, wait for 3 months. But they have an inventory of cars in every city And you can just go to their website and you can click under existing inventory and it'll show you all the ones that are out there.
I think what happened was is we wanted the very base spec, but they didn't have it. They had a discontinued model called a mid-range.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then we were like, well, we could do the mid-range, but I mean, I think it was a rear-wheel drive one. So we just went for the other one they had in stock, which is more expensive, with the long-range all-wheel drive. And it was a brilliant car. It was properly quick. The technology was awesome once again. Still big, centrally mounted screen. But it was, I think in my opinion, worlds ahead of the Model S. It's just, it's smaller, it's more nimble, it's more fun to drive in a lot of ways. I would strongly recommend checking out the Model 3.
Yeah, one of the things that I think that Model 3 ushered in was the minimalist approach, right? Because both the Model X, which came before it, and the Model S actually had a traditional kind of dashboard in front of you, plus the giant screen. With the Model 3, they got rid of the dashboard, basically put all the controls into two rotary dials on the steering wheel. And yeah. When I say all the controls, I mean everything from like how you move the steering wheel in and out, how you do your rearview mirrors, and then put every other control into the central stack. And then they took the screen and took it from a vertical to a horizontal position and stuck everything into kind of a la Mini, right? Mini did that a long time ago when they had the speedometer and everything in the middle of the screen, and now they did that with the Model 3. And that's become kind of a Tesla design language. Yeah, so with the Model 3, they basically created the template for the future Teslas coming down the road. Let's talk about what happened with our Model 3, because we had an interesting experience. This kind of pains me, Tommy, but we had a little bit of an accident with it.
Well, I had a little bit of an accident. I was really stupid, and I backed it into the garage. And then I took out a quarter panel and a bumper, and it was just a big disaster, and I feel really bad about it. But we had to get it fixed, and it was quite the challenge because at the time, only a few body shops in Colorado were Tesla certified, and you have to be Tesla certified in order to get parts.
Yep.
So of those few, really only one or two would work with our insurance company. So drove down there, and then it was several months of waiting and calling and waiting and calling to get the parts, to get the right parts, to replace the glass roof broke when they replaced the trunk.
And it was not a good experience.
No, it was a bad experience.
Yeah, just too many Teslas getting into minor fender benders and not enough repair shops was part of the problem.
But I've heard that's changed a lot, even in the last year.
I don't want to find out. Anyway, so it took us... It probably, you know, what a traditional ICE car, internal combustion engine car, would take to repair. Let's say that's like maybe a 2-week repair at most, right? It took us, 3 months?
Yeah, it was a long, long time. Yeah. And it would cost this relatively small amount of damage, I think it was $7,000.
It was a lot of money.
When it was all said and done, yeah, it was a big mistake.
Yeah, we didn't even damage the battery tray, which probably would have meant a complete write-off. Maybe we should have. Maybe next time you do it, you just got to go a little harder. That process was painful, and because of our fans, we were able to get it fixed. And then we decided, you know, we had lived with the car long enough. We had done as many videos as possible, so we thought to ourselves, let's figure out if a Tesla can do one of two things, which is what's, you know, is coming with the trucks, and that is go off-road and tow. And so once we got it repaired, we traded it in on a Model X. Once again, not the performance, which is the fast one, but nevertheless, an expensive vehicle. At that time, we paid $87,000 for it.
Yep, and it was the most affordable one out there. It was a 5-seater non-performance.
And it was one that was in stock.
They had it in stock
at the Denver shop, and so we brought in. And they gave us actually a pretty good price on the Model 3, so we ended up, you know, upgrading. Then we decided to figure out what the Model X was about. The last thing I'm going to say about the Model 3, which I think set us up for the last car that we'll be talking about, is the biggest issue with it was the fact that it has a traditional trunk. I think if you're looking for a vehicle that you want to throw a bike in, or you're looking for a vehicle that you want to go camping in, the Model 3 is still basically a sedan. And in a time when everybody wants a crossover because of the utility, it doesn't offer it.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with a sedan. I mean, sedans sold well for decades and decades and decades here in the U.S.
Well, if in a land of crossovers and trucks, You're sitting low to the ground. You can't see over things. You feel like, you know, you're not in that drive in commanding position. And you feel like, you know, if you want to bring a bike, you got to stick a bike rack on it. If you want to go camping, you got to stick a roof rack on
it. It's the same issue with the M3 or a 3 Series. It's the same issue with the C-Class. So it's not unique to Tesla. I mean, it's all of its competition. It's just... That's kind of what you have to do when you live with a sedan.
Yeah, and the other issue with the Model 3 is it's a relatively small vehicle, right? It's
a 3 Series.
Yeah, it's like a 3 Series. That would be a good size, and the back seat room is not grand. So if you want to bring a lot of friends and family along on your trip, they're going to be a little tight, especially if you're tall. Headroom is at a premium, and legroom is at a premium.
I would say the Model 3 is all the car that I think 90% of people need. It's got plenty of range. The fast charging is there. It's got really quick charging. It's extremely comfortable, extremely fun to drive.
Yeah, what was the range on ours?
I think it was 320.
Yeah.
322. And yeah. It was a great experience because one of the great things about owning an electric car is even though they have a perception of charging very slowly, the great thing is every night when you go to sleep, you plug it in, and in the morning, you basically have a full tank. It's like being able to wake up at a Shell station full tank of gas.
If you have a level 2 charger at your house.
Yes, and I think...
You can't do it off of a wall plug.
Yeah, you have to spend the $500 to $1,000 to install a level 2 if you have the option at your house, because that is the way to do it.
I actually disagree with you. I think the Model 3 is 50% of the car that people need. I don't think it's – I think the utility isn't there. I think the space isn't there. I also think that it's just not the right car at the right time. I'm actually amazed that they didn't build a crossover before they built the sedan. That must be a Elon Musk thing, but it's – Well, I would have built the crossover first.
I mean, I think that nowadays we've got this expectation that you need a crossover to do anything. And I don't think that's true. I think new cars have gotten so big and so overinflated. I mean, how did people do it in the 80s and 90s when the 3 Series was this little tiny thing? People still had families. People still had stuff they had to do. They still went camping. And just people, rather than going out and buying a truck, they would just do it with their car.
But people did the same thing when the Model T was around. They just spent a lot more time, you know, getting it unstuck and fixing it. That argument doesn't hold water. Just if there's a better way to do it, why go for a worse way just because the people in the past had to do it a worse way?
Well, we'll discuss whether or not it's a better way. So we had the 3, and then we upgraded to the X, which is the big crossover.
It's a big,
with
big
the
crossover.
Rear doors that go, woo!
It's got the Falcon Wing doors, and it's the one that is by far the most family truckster-ish of all. So it has all the stuff that the Model S would have. You can get a performance mode, which is really quick. I want to say 0 to 60 in like under 3.4 seconds. We have the dual motor.
On the X, it's 2.7.
2.7, even faster.
0 to 60.
Ours was supposedly 4.4, but we could never get it that fast. We got it down to like 4.7, I think.
Yeah, on the Model 3, we were able to match 0 to 60 times exactly. The Model X was a little slower, but it also has air suspension.
Yeah.
It has the option for a third row.
And it can tow 5,000 pounds.
Yeah, and it can tow 5,000 pounds.
So that's what we wanted to do. We actually called it the Adventure X. We wanted to take it off-road. And the first thing that we figured out when we try to take it off-road is that the suspension is designed in such a way that you really, really, really can't put an aggressive tire on it. And the most important thing when going off-road is swapping out the tires. And if you can't put an aggressive tire on it, the rest is silly.
Yeah, for sure. It's got this upper control arm, which is positioned...
That's positioned like 5 millimeters
from the top of the tire.
Above the tire. And if you're trying to put anything more aggressive on it, it just won't clear. And so we had big plans for it. We were going to, you know, we were going to do it up with a wrap, and we were going to put like a snorkel on it just for fun, and we were going to put a jerry can on it, fill it with batteries. But we tried taking it off-road, and it wasn't happy. Because not only the tires, it also has, of course, all the batteries down low, which is great because when you're going around a racetrack or on the road, you want that weight to be low, right? Low center of gravity. But it's also very easy then to puncture those batteries with a sharp, pointy rock. And when we took it off-road, I was terrified of doing that and starting a forest fire, because if those things start on fire, they're not going to stop.
Yep. In theory, they're very protected under there, but we didn't want to find
Kevlar,
out. Or like titanium plates.
Or something underneath there, but we didn't want to be the first to find out that that a 5,000-pound car, when dropped on a pointy rock, will puncture that plate.
So the off-roading was out of the question. So we also towed with it.
Yeah, we tried to tow with it.
A couple times.
We tried a whole bunch of times. We really tried to tow with that thing. First, we tried a horse trailer, and then we tried a very light kind of adventure camper that we were going to tow to Portland. We quickly realized that towing with an electric car is incredibly frustrating and time-consuming because it uses tons of energy.
Yeah, and the issue with electricity, right, is that the car had like a 100 kilowatt hour battery pack.
Yeah, it also had like 320 miles of range.
Which, yeah, it's 100 kilowatt hours is a huge battery pack. You could operate a hairdryer, which uses a ton of power, for 100 hours straight on high at max heat.
You could power like your house with that.
Yeah, for many, many days.
Yeah.
The thing is that batteries just don't have the same energy density that gasoline does. So 100 kilowatt hour pack is the equivalent of like 3 or 4 gallons of gasoline. But electric motors are so efficient that on that 100 kilowatt hours, the car could run 322 miles. So you don't – electric compared to internal combustion engine is a far better way to bring a vehicle down the road in terms of efficiency and heat. But the issue is when you start towing, when you change the aero on the vehicle, when you put weight behind the vehicle, it all goes out the window.
Yeah, so you know, Teslas are designed to be extremely efficient cars, and when you start towing, that becomes the exact opposite. It becomes extremely inefficient, and trucks do that, and they use a lot of fuel, but you can stop at every gas station and fill up. With a Tesla, what ends up happening, especially if you want to tow long distances, which is when a lot of people want to tow, like if you want to tow a camper or a boat or something, right? Normally, when you go cross country in a Tesla, you would not use the whole battery. You would stop at a supercharger, maybe 20 minutes, half hour, go to the next bit, right? So you can go a couple hundred miles, charge, you know, not fully, but nearly full for 20 minutes, supercharge, go another 100 miles. When towing, you basically drain the battery in 100 miles. A 300-mile battery drains in 100 miles, basically.
Right.
And that's not a heavy trailer. That's not even towing a 5,000-pound trailer. That's towing like a, let's say, a 1,500-pound trailer.
So towing was kind of out of the question. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen. The car wasn't happy doing it. We weren't doing it. So we figured out that at this point, electric vehicles, and I think that's going to be something that the Cybertruck or the Rivian or any other vehicle that's going to be towing is going to have to face, because it just uses a huge amount of energy. And also the problem we found out with off-roading with it is you can't plug it into a tree. So we actually done a series of videos where we did get a Honda generator and try to see if you can actually like bring a Honda generator with you and then using a level 2 generator, power it out in the woods. That's doable, but takes a long time.
It could. I mean, if you're camping, you could plug it in. And as long as you're running the generator overnight, you could get a full charge.
If you don't mind having a generator run all night.
Yeah, it's not ideal. But no. We'll the technology is improving so fast.
So let's say that you don't want to tow or go off-road in the Model X. What'd you think of it?
I liked it. It was very,
very comfortable.
Very comfortable. It was very floaty. It was almost very, you know, like 1970s American car-like.
Yeah.
But it was just so heavy.
And I got to tell you,
massive.
Having gone from a car with no central screen, when I say in front of the driver, not the big one in the middle, to one that actually had a center screen. So the Model X and the Model S have a configurable screen in the middle that lets you do things like see the speedometer, see what radio station you are, see how much power you're using.
Yeah, right in front of the steering wheel.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, it was nice. And it also held so much stuff.
Yeah.
In the front trunk, you had two giant cubbies underneath the rear floor. It just was great at holding a lot of stuff. Not quite as fun to drive as the 3. Even though 0-60 time was supposed to be about the same between those two specs, the Model X just felt a lot slower, not as willing to get up to speed. Part of that is because what they don't tell you is to get the full acceleration, you have to put the air suspension all the way down so that the CV angles, which are basically little stubby drive shafts that run between the motor and the wheels, if those angles are too steep, they chew themselves up. So they have to be flat.
Which is kind of a bummer, because if you're at a stoplight and you line up against somebody in, like, let's pick any sports car, a Mustang GT, that Model X will take it, but not unless it's an ultra-low mode.
Oh, Dad, it was so quick, though, in the real world. I think even a normal mode, it would take a GT, especially at a mile above sea level where batteries aren't affected.
Yeah, where we live. But still, you know, Tesla doesn't tell you that you have to put it in its lowest mode to get the highest acceleration. And even in its lowest mode, we never got that 4.4 the Tesla claims.
We we were like under 5, but not...
We were like 4.7, 4.8.
Yeah, not 4.
And that's a big difference. Half a second is actually... I kind of felt like, where's that extra half second that I paid $87,000 for?
So the other thing it has are these...
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. One other thing. Because this just occurred to me. I know we're fixated on 0-60 times, but we're automotive journalists, so forgive me, and forgive me for interrupting you.
The other thing that it has are these rear doors, which are these electrically operated falcon wing doors, is what they're called.
Yeah.
They're basically like gull wings, like you'd find on a...
Mercedes.
On like an old Mercedes, yeah. And they are really cool, and they do not work very well in the real world.
Yeah, they bonked your grandma on the head 3 times.
Yes, they did. And they don't open up in garages nearly enough to get stuff in and out of them.
They work... on paper, and they work like if you're just testing the car. But if you have to go live with the car, you quickly run into moments where they just are very sensitive, because if there's even the remotest chance of it hitting something, like your grandma, then they just stop, and then the thing just stops halfway. And
they did hit my grandma 3 times on the head.
On the head. But you see what I'm saying? Then, then you've got this door that's like half open and half closed. And pretty useless.
I mean, where they work well is like really tight parking spaces. That's where they're supposed to work. But what they don't tell you is they don't work when you get home in the garage and it's raining and you're trying to get stuff out of the back seat. They open like 4 inches, and at that point, might as well not open.
It got to the point where those Falcon wing doors got to be such a pain that I hated putting anything back there, right? A normal car, if you want to just throw something in the back, you can just open the back door and throw it in there. With this thing, it was like either throw it in the front or throw it in the back, but forget the back seats.
And they never fit right. So Tesla has notoriously poor panel gaps, and the Falcon wing doors certainly exacerbated those issues. So they were always off-centered and off-kilter, and yeah, it was just a mess. But the car itself was a good experience.
Yeah, I liked the car. It was super luxurious, super comfy, and I miss it. It was just big and heavy, and look, if you've got a family and you want the family truckster and you want an electric car, I don't think there's anything better out there than the Model X.
Yeah,
I can't think of a better one.
Especially, well, at least electric.
Yeah, I mean, the e-tron, sort of a similar vehicle, but with a range of only 205 miles, it just isn't in the same ballpark.
I pay same
problem, right? You got to have, like, electric cars, you know, it's like real estate. Location, 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 range, range, range. And range is king, and 320 miles trumps 205 or 220 now with the e-tron. So let's get to the one that everybody's waiting for. So then we took the Model X because we kind of did everything we tried to do with it, and we're here because... we want to review these cars, do long-term reviews, and then move on to the next one. So we went and traded that Model X in for the Model Y. And if you're wondering how much they paid it, they gave us for it, I think we bought the Model Y, which ended up being like $64,000, and they gave us, I think, $68,000 for the Model X after a year of owning it. So it went from $87,000 to – we lost quite a bit of money on it.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But we didn't have to pay taxes because it was a trade-in, and they actually had to cut us a check.
Have they given you a check yet?
No, they haven't sent us the check. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah,
usually at a dealership, they just give you the check right away. We're still waiting for our money back. But let's talk about the Model Y, because the Model Y, people think it's basically a Model 3 with a hatch.
Yeah, so basically it rides on the same platform.
Yeah.
Very similar on the inside, almost the same. A lot of the components are the same on the outside. So things like the headlights and taillights, I'm quite sure those are interchangeable between them.
It's 75% identical to the Model 3.
Yeah, it's got some improvements. So it's got like a heat pump, which is a much more efficient way to heat the interior in the winter. That's great to see. It's got a slightly higher driving position, but slightly higher. And it's available with a hitch, so it can tow up to 3,500 pounds. It's, of course, got a power lift gate in the rear. It's got a second row that folds completely flat. Some of these things, like the second row folding, are available on the 3, but like the tow hitch, the heat pump, these are pretty big differences.
Yeah. Screw the heat pump. I mean, I'm not. What?
Screw the heat pump. That's such a big deal.
Yeah, you're concentrating on the wrong thing.
That's like the when it's wintertime and it's 4 degrees here in Colorado. That's going to be the difference between getting you from the airport or back.
There's 3 reasons people are going to. We just did a video saying basically it's the best car of the year, and there are 3 reasons that you should buy a Model Y instead of Model 3, right? Number one, and this is the most important. I'm going to go down kind of usually we go from least to most. I'm going to go from most to least. Okay, number one, it's got a hatch, which means you can throw a bike into it. Remember, I had to bring my mountain bike home, and it took the whole mountain bike without taking off the wheels, without taking up the pedals, without taking up the seat. So tons of room. Also gives you dividends in the back seat. So if you're driving other people around, you got a lot more room, a lot more headroom in the back. So just a lot more utility. It's like a fat Model 3.
Okay, so that's your number one thing.
And that's huge. I think utility, because,
yeah,
because
it's nice.
Increased, that's 50%. You said, I say it's 50% of the car. Now you've got the car that's got this bandwidth where it actually works. Okay, and you touched upon the other two. Number two.
Heat pump.
No, screw the heat pump. That's like for inside people who are, I don't even know what a heat pump is, let alone how it works. I don't care. Number two, makes you sit higher, right? So for us old farts, it's easier to get in out of.
Oh, Dad, it's barely higher, though.
It's higher.
We're talking like a couple inches.
That's a big deal. So it's easier for your grandma to get in and out of?
It's a couple inches higher.
Yeah, and you sit higher, and so you feel like you're not sitting on the ground like in a sports car. I love sitting on the ground in a sports car, but in this vehicle, I'd rather sit up higher. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I sort of understand that one.
All right. So you get that one. And number three, it actually tows and comes with a tow hitch. So if you want to put a bike rack in there, or if you want to put any kind of a rack, you can just put it in, because I think it automatically comes with it now. Oh, no, you have to pay for it.
You have to pay for it.
Right, but it's an option. You can get it.
Keep in mind, though, that people have been putting hitches on Model 3s for bike racks as
well. Yeah, those Hokie U-Haul ones.
No, I mean,
there's some like 14-year-old dude drilling into your batteries.
They
That's
work.
What I want.
They work, though. They do the trick. I agree that the utility is great. That is a big upside.
And, all right, I'll give you a bonus. You can get it with the big-ass – we got the performance one this time.
Right.
Which comes with these 21s, which are incredible. Horrible for range. It takes the range down like 40 miles. But it looks badass.
No, totally disagree. Those 21s are horrible, Dad.
It looks badass.
Dad, I don't care if it looks badass. If you're stuck on the side of the road because you ran out of range, I'll go cruising by on my little 19s, and I'll be sure to stop and wave. They also make the ride choppy. I would not recommend
but we've read that the ride is choppy on all Model Ys.
I think those 21s, they're called Uber Turbines.
Yeah.
So we got the Model Y Performance,
right,
which is the high-performance one. You're conveniently forgetting some things versus the Model 3.
It's more expensive.
It's more expensive, yeah. Significantly more expensive. The performance is slower.
Yeah.
The range is less.
Yes.
These are all very important things with electric cars. So if you need the space.
What's the 0 to 60? 3.4?
3.5 on the Y.
Yeah.
3.2 on the 3.
It gets heavier.
Yeah, it's bigger and
heavier. It's a bigger car.
Keep in mind, ground clearance isn't really all that much more, so it's not going to be...
I'm not going to take it off-road. With 21s, you're not going
to
take it off-road.
One of the reasons people buy crossovers is because they want to go to the campsite, right? Or they want to be able to...
So don't get the performance. Get the regular one.
Yeah. I mean, you'll have a slightly more ground clearance than 3, but it's marginal. It really is a small difference. I really, like you mentioned, the great thing is having the hatch. That's great. And then that, I think, is probably the... end of the benefits.
No, I think you get a car that, and you know, we're talking about the performance, but if you get the regular one, right, the dual motor, you're going to get the same range. You're going to get, I think, over 300 miles of range.
It's less range.
No, not the same range as the performance, but you'll get like over three. I think it's 311 last time I checked.
Is it? Yeah. But it's still a little less than the Model 3, isn't it?
311. That's all the range you're going to need for the. For
I agree.
People.
It's enough range.
And especially if you've got a level 2 at home. And then you're going to get, I think, a better looking vehicle. You disagree. I think it's much more purposeful. It's got more of that kind of Coke bottle shape.
Yeah, it's got more of that catfish in the oven shape.
No, it just looks much more beefy, much more purposeful, much more. And this issue, when you look at it, it looks like a Model 3 that was put in the oven and kind of popped out like a Pillsbury Doughboy. But now that I've gotten used to it, I think it just looks really purposeful, like a bulldog. It's got this kind of...
It's not that much less range, 322 versus 316.
Okay.
I mean, the big deal, like you said, is the cargo area.
Yeah.
And that is a big deal for especially a lot of families.
Yes. It makes it a car that you can live with on a day-to-day basis, because when you need that space, like to take your grandma to the airport, you have that space and her luggage.
But she could get into a Model 3. She could fit in there.
Yeah, and her luggage.
I think her luggage. It depends on the lifestyle.
You know how much luggage she.
Yes, and her luggage. We could with those two trunks. With the two trunks. Of the
no
three,
way.
You could squeeze it.
Oh, she when she travels, she goes like she's like old school, like she's going on the Titanic across the Pacific, across the Atlantic Ocean.
I would say that's
the kind of stuff she packs.
If you have a family,
yeah,
you gotta go for the Y. I really do think.
But I think if you're single. And
if you're like me, if you're single and you've got, you know, friends.
Go for a BRZ.
No, just go for the 3. How much less do you think the 3 is?
It's probably at least, I want to say $9,000 less for the Model 3 than the Model Y.
Let me see.
Guys, we know these numbers, but they keep changing them every week. So they just changed them. So it always is a little bit different. So I'm really hesitant to put a price out there because it's the price that the Tesla had on their website last week. And now, of course, it's different. They just dropped a 3K, basically, the Y and the 3.
Well, this is not going well because it says that they're now the same price. Did they check?
See what I mean? This is what I mean. Like, and that's another thing.
That's
$46,990. If you're a Tesla buyer, you feel like you're always getting the raw end of the deal because one week you got free supercharging for life. The next week you've got no supercharging for life. The following week it's $5,000 cheaper.
Oh, here we go. It's $3,000 cheaper for the Y compared to the 3.
No, the 3 is cheaper than the Y.
It's the 3 is $3,000 cheaper than the Y, which is not a big difference, actually.
And they just dropped a 3.
Yeah.
Both of them, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
so
I love them.
What are the prices? People are now curious.
Okay, so the Y, the long range starts at $46,990.
And that's with no upgrades. And there aren't that many upgrades, but that's with just a basic vehicle.
So that's the 316 miles, 4.8 seconds, 0 to 60.
Yeah.
The performance starts at $59,990.
Ooh, so it's $10,000 more.
$49,990 for the long range. $59,990 for the performance. So the performance, the range drops from 316 to 291.
Yeah.
And then
is new. Ours was actually 280 something, so maybe they're giving us an upgrade.
Well, hang on, but that's with the yeah, you're right. Yep, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's they changed that too. They just changed the wheel options too in the performance.
Yeah. So.
Ah.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to keep track of all this?
You can't. You can't. Tesla just always is changing things. And for a while, when we got our performance, all the performance stuff were free upgrades. So that little carbon fiber spoiler on the back was a free upgrade. The bigger tires and wheels were a free upgrade. By the way, those Uber turbines, right?
Yeah.
They're 69 pounds each.
So apparently, get this.
That's heavy.
When we ordered ours, there was a box you could check for the performance upgrade.
Yeah.
Which would, it was still a performance model Y.
Right.
But it would give you the big wheels and the lower suspension.
Yeah.
Now they eliminated that box to clip the upgrade.
So now
they're all getting the 21s.
Yeah.
Shoot, okay. Well, that eliminated part of the argument I had against the 21s. But the 7-seater option is available on the Y.
Yeah.
I imagine those rear seats have got to be tiny.
Yeah, that's got to be tiny.
Yeah, for sure.
So, we started this podcast by saying that we're going to go through the different Teslas. And actually, we've driven them all. So the model Roadster is no longer made.
Yep, that died a long time ago.
That's gone. And if you have one, by the way, we talked to the our inside rep at Tesla, and if you trade it in, you know what they do with them?
What do they do with them?
They take them apart and use them for parts for people who still have them.
Oh, really?
So if you have
that's
one.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they only built like 2,000, and they only sold like 1,800, so it's going to be a very rare and I think very valuable car at one point. So if you have one, if you trade it in, it's going to get taken apart for parts, so sell it or hold on to it, but don't trade it in. And I was told that here in Denver, at least this year, a couple of them already come back as part of a trade-in. So two less out there on the road, unfortunately.
So that was the first one, and then the S?
So the S, I thought about the S. The problem with the S, like I say, is it's kind of long in the tooth right now. It really needs a significant update. And, of course, Tesla does do over-the-air updates, which are cool.
Yeah, really cool.
But at some point, those over-the-air updates can't, for instance, upgrade the motors. And Tesla does that in new
and the battery tech, yep.
And the battery
tech. Charging tech.
And the charging tech and the how fast you can charge it. So at some point, that does become obsolete. And the new Model S, of course, has the new motors, has the new batteries, has the new charging tech. But nevertheless, you're getting a car that, to me, is starting to look a little bit dated and needs to be redone. And Tesla hasn't redone it in, 8 years now?
Yeah, 2012. Okay, so that was the S, and then the X came out next.
Yeah, the X is great if you want the family truckster and you have a lot of kids, a big family. and you've got a big budget, then definitely go for the X. It's an all-rounder. It works off-road. It works on-road. It kind of tows. and it'll hold your friends and family, and it'll be very comfortable. It's quick, but it's not very fast, if that makes sense. So, like, you wouldn't want to hustle around a track. There's just a lot of weight there.
Even the performance one?
Yeah, even the performance one. And I would say those Gullwing doors, while they're uber cool and probably will make it very valuable, like 30 years from now, people will be like, I want the one with those Gullwing doors. To live with, they're just a huge pain in the ass.
And then 3 was next?
I wouldn't get the 3. I'd go right for the Y. I think the 3 is fine, but, you know, for 3K more, which, you know, in the big scheme of things, isn't that. If you're looking at a Tesla and you've got a $50,000 budget, then probably 3K isn't going to make or break you. I would go for the Y because you're getting basically a 3 with a lot more usability.
Okay, and, I understand that perspective.
Get
that.
But if you want the one that's you know, more fun to drive and a little bit faster around a track, potentially, and, you know, a little bit more...
it's more driftable. They've got the performance
track
modes.
Yeah, but that I read recently that that's also coming to the Model Y.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'd go for the Model 3, but I think the Model Y is right now in the sweet spot.
Okay, well, let us know what you guys think, your experiences with the Teslas.
Yeah.
Because I'll be curious to see which ones you're lusting after, which ones you own. And then we've got the future models, too, like the Roadster and the Cybertruck and the Semi. Those are all been a little bit...
If you have a big family, go for the Semi. You know, I have a friend who's got like 14 kids.
That's the one he needs.
Yeah, go for the Semi. And the Cybertruck, right now to me, it just feels like so much vaporware. It just doesn't exist. I mean, yeah, there's a prototype that's in the museum in L.A. at the Peterson, and Jay Leno has driven it, but the factory does not yet exist for it. Right, Tesla's in the process of trying to either go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Austin, Texas, to build a factory for it. And if there's no factory, then to me, the vehicle is so far from production ready that it's just vaporware. I can't take it seriously. As much as it made a huge splash when it first came out with, you know, its styling and its performance and all the cool stuff, you know, Tesla and Elon are really good at promoting themselves, and right now that's the ultimate promotion. I want one, but look, you're probably going to be able to get a Rivian first. There's a whole bunch of electric trucks coming that you might actually be able to buy first. And I kind of feel the same way about just any vehicle that I can actually go and test drive.
Yeah, I understand that. That makes sense. But it is coming, and I think it's going to be – he said he had to make it a little bit smaller. But I think it's going to look surprisingly similar to that crazy Tron-like concept.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like it's like window shopping. I can't stand window shopping. If I can't have it, I don't want to build my hopes up for it. But a lot of people have no problem putting down $100. I think they had like $400,000. And I got to sit in the thing, right? And so I actually know what it's like to kind of be in the prototype version of it. But I even hesitate to say it's a prototype because, once again, two of them. There's a lot of vehicles where two existed, and that was all that ever got built. Maybe I'm too pragmatic.
I think you're being too pessimistic. Yeah. I think it's going to happen.
All right, so which Tesla would you buy for your money?
If I had a family Y all day long.
Yeah.
But personally, I still like the 3 more. Just it's a little zippier, a little more nimble. But, I mean, the Y is a lot. I think you're right. It's a better value for most people.
Yeah, and we just got ours, what, like 2 weeks ago? We put on less than 1,000 miles, so we will be doing videos with it. We will be trying to figure out, you know, what is good and bad about that particular vehicle. But this is kind of, you know, after owning it for 2 weeks, this is kind of where we're at. You know, the other thing I love about Tesla actually is, and some people hate this, but I like it, that there's very limited choice in terms of kind of the interiors, in terms of the colors, in terms of anything, right? If you get the e-tron, there are a lot of options for a lot of ways to customize that to make it your... If you get a Model X, it's basically, you know, a handful of colors, and less than that in terms of interiors, and then a few options. And I kind of like that. In a world where we just got a new puppy. Actually, it happened to us. Remember when we went to the pet store and there was all this puppy food and I felt overwhelmed by it?
Yep.
Right? We didn't know which one to get.
Yeah, but that's a little different than having a lot of color options.
I kind of feel overwhelmed, and with, you know, there's a lot to be said for having less choice.
I want a yellow Tesla. They need to make yellow, and they need to make green.
You like Tweety.
Yeah, and they need to make different shades of blues. I think we need more colors, for sure. I'd like to see more interior colors, too.
You know what I want to see? I want to see actually somebody come and seriously compete against Tesla, because to this day, and it's been 10 years now since I was at the Detroit Auto Show where Tesla rolled out its first auto show appearance, there has yet to be a major manufacturer that has built a car that can seriously compete. And I'm talking to you, Audi. I love the fact that the e-tron is an all-electric car, but really, you can't compete with two-thirds, you know, with a third less range. You just can't.
Hmm.
The I-Pace, same problem. You know, this is not, if Tesla can do it, you can do it. And I want to see actually an affordable electric car. And I'm not looking at the Leaf, because it's neither affordable nor is it exactly the car that sets my heart a-thumping.
Well, not with that attitude.
No, not with that attitude.
All right, guys.
Did I miss any?
No, you got Bolt.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... we'll do a whole show on the Bolt at some point.
Yep.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And let us know in the comments below which electric car you think. We probably sound like Tesla fanboys, but I think that there is certainly a consensus out there among automotive journalists and people who have driven all of these electric cars, which we have, that Tesla is at least one generation ahead. So is it being a fanboy to like the model that is the next generation of vehicle versus the current generation? You know, I don't think so. I think that's just being smart.
Well, let us know what you think in the section below. I'm sure we'll hear some very vocal comments. And we'll see you guys next time right here at TFL Talking Cars.
Yep. See you guys next time. Ciao.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.